All right, everybody, welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, the Tuesday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Dahl hanging out here with you, joined, as always, on Tuesday by Zach Blackerby. I am not Lindsey Crosby, as you may have observed. I'm in here replacing Lindsey today, talking with Zach Blackerby about something that we kind of dove into on yesterday's episode of the Auburn Daily Show, hanging out with Dylan Lark, giving our top three newcomers for Auburn football's 2023 class, both their freshmen and their transfer portal recruits. Zach, I'm going to go through our list of our top three players, give you a chance to react to it, and then we're going to preview tonight's basketball game against the Texas A&M Aggies, just kind of give our thoughts on what the Tigers could be doing in that matchup as well. Zach, are you ready for it?
I am ready. I think you guys did a lot of things right, and I think you did a few things wrong as well with these lists.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into it. We'll start where we started yesterday with Dylan and his number three. He decided, and this is the only freshman on this list. This is the only high school addition in this list here that we have. Keldrick Falk was his number three impact newcomer, and his reasoning being, Auburn, you look at the edge position, probably going to need a lot of help there. We actually have an article going out later today about snap counts, and that's definitely a thin position for the Tigers this season. Keldrick Falk probably going to be somebody that may need to step up more than the Tigers may want him to at times this season, especially if there's injury. Fingers crossed that nothing happens there. But also, at the same time, I think you have to be excited about a guy like Falk. Obviously, the number one player in Auburn's class heading into this year. There's a lot to like about him, and I think there's a lot of upside, and the opportunities are certainly going to be there year one.
Yeah, if I was doing this list, Keldrick Falk would probably be three on my list as well. If you wanted to put him two, I would certainly be okay with it, because his upside is one. You know, as far as what he could potentially be, I don't know if he could potentially be that in 23, but as far as what he could do during his Auburn career, I think he could be a very, very special player. So him at three is probably where I would put him. So props to Dylan.
I think that Falk definitely deserves to be on some type of list. Again, I think we talked about this on yesterday's show. Didn't want to cop and Dilly. Dylan, not Dilly, player for player here. So I went with Dylan Wade as my number three. It's weird. You get crossed up between Dylan and Dylan over here. I'm just looking back.
It's because it's spelled different. It's because they spell Dylan differently. Yeah, Dylan Wade would probably be two on my list. So I think that's certainly a good spot to put him, Lance.
I think that Dylan Wade, for me, the reason that I have him on my list is you look at Auburn in the offensive line and how desperately they needed help. Gunnar Britton is a guy that we're going to get to here in just a minute. Just how talented he is. Again, didn't want to copy Dylan, so I decided to put Wade on my list instead of Britton. But Auburn needed help at the tackle position desperately. To go back to what we were saying about Falk, that position at edge is very thin. Auburn, this season, heading into it, outside of the transfer portal additions, they have one snap of experience at tackle on their roster. One snap from Avery Jernigan, who apparently played tackle at some point for one snap. So Auburn desperately needed somebody to step in. Dylan Wade, simply because he is a body in the room, becomes one of the most impactful transfers. On top of that, he was pretty good at Tulsa.
No question about it. I don't think he has as much experience as some people kind of suggest that he does. Just being honest here, but still, I think Dylan Wade's traits are exceptional, especially in the running game. We'll see exactly how that translates once he gets some reps in spring, but. Yeah, Dylan Wade would be two. Keldrick Falk would be three. And I think where y'all missed it, and the next person you'll mention is Gunnar Britton, and he was number two on Dylan's list. And I think that's wrong. I think Gunnar Britton is vastly, vastly underrated as far as Auburn's newcomers go. I think Gunnar Britton instantly becomes one of the best players on Auburn's team, Lance, as soon as he committed to Auburn. I mean, it was that big of a get. And Dylan said something that I've been saying. I expect Gunnar Britton to be one of the best offensive tackles, perhaps the best offensive tackle at Auburn since Greg Robinson. You guys touched on that yesterday. I think he was 100% correct in saying that. But I think having Gunnar Britton allows Dylan Wade to be used in a situation where it will benefit him the most over the course of his career. Like, is Dylan Wade ready to be left tackle in the SEC day one? I don't know. He could be. He could be. But if I had to guess, I'd probably say, I'm not super bullish on that. But right tackle or a guard, depending on, you know, how Xavier Miller, the JUCO offensive tackle, develops, I think Gunnar Britton allows Dylan Wade to have some flexibility and develop as an SEC offensive lineman, which is great, which is very, very exciting. So, yeah, just to kind of react, my list would be Gunnar Britton, Dylan Wade, Keldrick Falk. But I think you guys had interesting number ones, Lance. You know, you going with Avery Jones makes a ton of sense because we saw what happened last year when Auburn doesn't have even an average center. Like, I mean, it obviously it's going to take a big step back for the offense. So I think Avery Jones is a step forward there. But Dylan's number one yesterday being DeMario Tolan. I'm seeing more and more people, Lance, talk about Austin Keys, the Ole Miss linebacker, because I think it's just because he has more experience. But I think DeMario Tolan's the better linebacker. Limited reps, limited, you know, playing time, but his traits, Lance, DeMario Tolan's traits are very, very easy to be excited about.
And that's what we were talking about on yesterday's episode. I did not phrase it well, what I was trying to explain, but you look at his dimensions, very similar to one Owen Papo here on the Plains. On top of that, he's going to be wearing number zero for the Tigers. I think he is going to kind of be the one to kind of restore what has been a pretty good stretch for the Tigers at linebacker. And I'm not saying he's going to come in this season and do something crazy, but sure. I'm saying for his career, he's going to be a guy that ends up graduating and we're going to be saying, okay, he got us back to the Zakobe McClain type of days where you've got a linebacker that can just go out and get the ball regardless of what size he is, right? And so I think that he, just based on what he looked like coming out of high school, based on what we saw out of him from LSU during his very limited time there as well, I think there's a lot of reason to believe that, like you said, arguably Ole Miss linebacker transfer Austin Keys, you know, you could make a conversation for him, but I think this guy, just based on what we've seen, has a higher upside. And so that was Dylan's number one player.
And we got to think about the context in which these linebackers will be used, Lance. This is a different defense than what we've seen. I was talking to a player earlier in the week about it. And I mentioned this, when I went on the radio in Auburn this morning about how in this Ron Roberts defense, they make opposing offensive linemen think. And whenever you make college football players make decisions over and over and over and over again, eventually they make the wrong decision. And when we're talking about offensive linemen making decisions on, okay, you know, all these creepers and linebackers stepping up to the line of scrimmage, all these offensive linemen got to think like, oh my gosh, am I blocking him? Does he block him? And, you know, obviously there's going to be communication at a high level in the SEC, but even in the NFL, like, it's just hard. It's hard. Blitz pickup is a very difficult thing. That was the first thing Hugh Freeze and his coaching staff went over. That's what Hugh Freeze talked about in his press conference last Thursday. And you just look at that, and I think that's what good coaching does, is it's going to allow these players to maybe succeed more than they would in other types of system. You want them, as a coach, you want your players to look better than they actually are. And I'm not saying DeMario Tolan and Cam Riley and Austin Keys and Wesley Steiner and this Auburn linebacker group, I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm just saying I think they're going to be better than they actually are in this defense that Ron Roberts is building for this team.
That's something that we didn't discuss yesterday, is I was more focused on, you know, kind of reestablishing the top end talent in that room. But I also think that a scheme can definitely help some of these former four-star guys actually discover their potential. That's a really good point there.
Well, Lance, I was talking about this with Luke Robinson, who hosts Locked On Bama. We were talking about Kevin Steele being hired over there, which I think is a great hire for Bama. I hate that he's there. But, I mean, the Kevin Steele defense, the way, and he had the talent to kind of do this, right? Just rush four, play man on the outside. But boy, did we see some talented linebackers. But it's like, was Deshaun Davis elite? Or like, his play was, but like, was he? You know, like, the NFL wasn't dying to get him on a roster. Same with a few other guys. You know, Zakobe, I think you could put in there. I'm missing one. Trey Williams was another one where it's like, were those guys as good as their numbers were? I don't know. I genuinely don't know the answer to that, but I don't think there's any question. Like in that Steel era, those guys were put in situations to succeed. And I think you're going to see that again. I don't know if you saw that over the last two seasons at linebacker.
DeMario Toland, Dylan's number one player, mine, Avery Jones. Again, like Zach mentioned, I think that Gunnar Britton is probably going to end up being the most talented offensive lineman out of these three additions through the transfer portal. But I think the most valuable at the end of the day may end up being Avery Jones, just simply because how Auburn looked at that position at times last season, just to have some
good pick.
Like I said on yesterday's show, baseline consistency is all I think we're looking for there. So my number one pick, Avery Jones. Again, to recap, our top three newcomers, Dylan was Keldrick Falk, Gunnar Britton, DeMario Toland. My three were Dylan Wade, DeMario Toland, and Avery Jones. If you're listening to the show on YouTube, you can leave a comment below saying who your top three most impactful newcomers for 2023 were. Or if you're listening on podcast, you can hit us up over at the Auburn Daily on Twitter. Give us your thoughts over there. A lot of protection, I think, Auburn has added through the transfer portal on the offensive line, Zach. But do you know how difficult it is to stay protected while browsing online?
Well, it's brutal out there.
This video is sponsored by NordVPN to help you out. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty, and you could be exploited by hackers so easily while browsing the internet. NordVPN allows you to change your IP address, making you harder to track and securing your privacy. And NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. You can check out the link in the episode description today. Check out NordVPN. They really help you out while you're trying to enjoy your online browsing experience safely. Again, thank you so much to NordVPN for sponsoring this video. All right, Zach, the Auburn Tigers taking on Texas A&M tonight on the road. This is a little bit of a weird game for me, Zach. Obviously, Auburn has lost their last few games to the Texas A&M Aggies. The last season, if I'm not mistaken, they got them at home. They blew them out at home during College Game Day. Might have even been there when Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler were popping off. I believe that was Kessler's second triple-double of the season, if I'm not mistaken. Auburn coming off of a little bit of a weird game against Tennessee as well. They've lost three out of their last four. This doesn't necessarily feel like a must win, but it certainly could be a resume booster and a momentum builder heading into the bigger game on Saturday against the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly get that. Some people are making the argument that it is a must win. And then I kind of ask, like, well, to do what? To be a top four team in the SEC tournament? Maybe. I mean, because you're right on the fritz. Kentucky's breathing down your neck and they're playing really good basketball right now, and it's just down the stretch. It doesn't get much easier for Auburn because after this, you play Alabama twice, you go to Lexington, and you play Tennessee again. I mean, that's just tough. That's just super, super tough. So I get why you would say that it's a must win. As far as like going on a run and getting hot in March, it's not. But I just kind of don't want to see this fan base lose their mind if Auburn loses tonight. And so this is a game, though, Lance, I don't feel confident in at all. I think there's a very real chance that A&M sweeps Auburn this season. I mean, A&M's done the hardest part. Winning in Neville is not an easy thing to do, and they were able to do that. But just what we saw in that 79-63 loss earlier in the season, like I said, in Neville, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. It was January 25th. And just looking at it, I think some of it may have been game plan based, but I think some of it was just matchups, and I think some of it was execution. Can you fix all three of those things enough to kind of fix that and get a win on the road? I think you certainly can. The big picture issues of this team, Lance, you and I have talked about it. I don't see the rotation changing. I don't see Zepp Jasper all of a sudden playing point guard again. I don't see the shot selection changing, even though we did see a few games in a row where like they weren't shooting three every other shot, but like going 3 of 27 last game, like that's inexcusable. That's just silly. I get 3 of 20, but then you stop and then, you know, you start adjusting your offense, but shot selection doesn't seem to be a thing that this team's focused on in game plans. And that's a shame because I think it's going to hurt him. It could possibly hurt him tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward for me in this matchup, Zach. I don't think it's a good matchup. I think that's the thing I'm focusing on here is what do Auburn's guards do against A&M's guards, and I just don't think that they have the juice, especially considering the last two times we've seen these two teams face off. They just didn't have the answer. And Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler at home last year were simply enough to kind of power Auburn through this, but the front court, I don't know, and this is no diss on Jahni Broome. I don't know if he's going to simply be able to carry it all the way through. I mean, Jalen Williams and Jahni Broome combined for, 24 points last time these two teams faced off, but I don't know if Auburn's guards just simply have enough in them in this game. Something else I want to point out that was kind of interesting, you talk about Auburn's rotation, you talk about their bench. They have got to find more production from different guys coming off the bench. They had three players play a combined 26 minutes off the bench in this game against A&M last time they faced off. A combined 2 points, no field goal attempts. Trey Donaldson hit two free throws, and that was it. That's all you got from those three players. That's crazy. To get more statistical production from your bench. A&M can't shut you down like that. That's my concern. The guard play, what Auburn's rotation looks like, actually getting some of these guys involved scoring. I want to reiterate, I think it's a bad matchup, both schematically and physically. Buzz Williams has had Bruce Pearl's number for quite some time now, since he's entered the league, actually. So not a lot of faith here tonight. But again, if they do end up winning this one, I think it is a testament to the fact that Auburn is still very much so in the race for that 4 seed or 3 seed, like you mentioned earlier on. And also, they're building some type of momentum, could be an opportunity to start that process as you wind down the back third of this season. Like we mentioned, you've got Alabama at home this Saturday. You've got Missouri, Vanderbilt, Mississippi heading up before you go on the road to play Kentucky. I mean, it's a really, really tough schedule, but man, if Auburn can somehow start to replicate some of that magic that they had in 2019, just getting hot shooting, which I don't see happening, I want to be very clear, then, you know, things could all of a sudden turn around. As of right now, though, Zach, it feels similar to last year, now that we're starting to see Auburn lose 3 out of their last 4, in the fact that, you know, teams just kind of have Auburn figured out at this point in some type of way. And Auburn starts to get cold. They lose a little bit of confidence, and then things just kind of go down the drain. I'm really hoping they flip the script here.
Me too. Texas A&M, 8-2 in the SEC right now. Currently, they're sitting in that number 3 spot. If they were to start the SEC tournament today, Auburn in that 4, and then Kentucky's on the outside looking in, tied with Auburn at 7-3. And so, I mean, this is a good basketball team. Their overall record's not super great, 16-7, but once conference play started, they've been pretty solid. So we'll see how they respond tonight. You mentioned Jahni Broome. You know, he played over 30 minutes against Tennessee, and those weren't just 30 minutes, Lance. They were physical minutes. I mean, that Tennessee game was very physical. And we could have a long conversation about how it was called, but those guys beat each other up, and this is a quick turnaround. Saturday to Tuesday is a pretty quick turnaround. So we'll see how he responds, and hopefully it's enough. Hopefully it's enough for the Tigers. We'll see.
Final point I want to make here before we wrap things up. So as we all know, I absolutely love KenPom. I love talking about it. I love reading through it. They point out point distribution on their website for individual teams. So percentage of points teams get from 3, 2, and from the foul line. Texas A&M is 3rd nationally in percentage of points they get from the foul line. They get about a quarter of their points, 24%, from the free throw line. In the game against Auburn, they were 20 of 24 from the line. They scored 79 points. That's good for 25.3%. You cannot allow them to get a quarter of their points from the foul line. You have to be able to find a way to slow that down this one.
Auburn, a 2.5-point dog in this one. So we will we'll see if they can pull it out. We'll see if they can pull it out. I think that line's a little generous towards Auburn, if I'm being honest with you. I just don't have a good feeling about tonight's match. It's a matchup thing. Bigger guards have really given us fits. You wrote about it at a stat of the day at auburndaily.com last week. It's just been tough. We'll see. Hopefully game plan, effort, execution. Hopefully all of that works out in Auburn's favor tonight. I just got to see it to believe it.
We're going to have takeaways, all that good stuff over at auburndaily.com tonight. Make sure you are following both of us on Twitter at ZBlackerby, at @LanceDaw_. We're going to have coverage for you for that, as well as anything going on in the Auburn football world. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Again, follow all of our content over at auburndaily.com. Make sure to follow both of us on Twitter. And if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the show. We will see you all tomorrow for another episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and God bless.